Good evening and welcome to my show.
You got it right.
Welcome to Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church Monday Manna Bible Study. And we are so blessed that you are with us on tonight. Come on in and let's get ready.
Hope that each of you are enjoying this day as we move through January. And believe it or not, this is the last day of January as we position ourselves to move into February, which starts tomorrow. And I tell you, this year is really kind of getting by us, Lady Kim. We have been celebrating all month long, of course, 22nd church anniversary. And we closed out in a grand fashion on yesterday, but we're going to celebrate all year long. We're not just going to stop just because we're coming to the close of this month, but we're going to continue to celebrate. The church was founded in January, the first Sunday in January, and so we just go all month long and just celebrate and invite family and friends to come and be a part of what God has done. And it really doesn't seem like it's been 22 years, does it?
No, it doesn't.
I tell you, that's
it went by really, really fast.
But I guess when you're busy, as the old saying go, time flies when you're having fun. Mm-hmm. Or how does it go?
That's it.
Okay. So we've been having fun and don't feel no ways tired, but we're certainly grateful for all who have supported us, who have viewed virtually as well as in person. And believe it or not, we were setting out chairs on yesterday as our tallest Timothy, Pastor Marquise McPherson, and the New Bethel Baptist Church came to celebrate with us. But before we get into all of that, we're going to have a word of prayer. And then y'all let us know the sound that's coming in, that y'all can hear us. And we got a good picture as we prepare for tonight. And those who are on the streaming side, we do welcome you as well. And we apologize that we're not able to communicate with you all. But we hope that you will continue to support us in this effort even as we go forward. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we do thank you for this day. Thank you for our lives and thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. Thank you for allowing us to see it through this month, and here we are getting ready to close out this first month of this new year and prepare to go into February. And so we pray your choice's blessing to be upon us even as we engage in this study tonight. We pray for each person that will be on this particular virtual setting and those who will hear this particular Bible study later by playback. And so now, God, we ask that every need will be met, every way will be made, and that you will continue to show yourself strong on our behalf. So we love you. We honor you. We thank you for those who are yet pressing their way in the midst of their pain and the midst of things that they are trying to make sense of, with deaths in their family, with surgeries and rehabs. And so, God, we just give you praise in advance for what you're about to do. And so we thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And praise God. All right, Lady Kim. Well, as I was saying, we closed out in grand fashion yesterday. A powerful word by Pastor Marquise, and he's really growing in the Lord, isn't he?
Yes, he is. We're so proud of him.
That's right, I tell you.
And the work that he's doing.
And so it did our hearts good yesterday to see him, and he brought members of his congregation with him. And he kept in line with the theme that we are sharing for this year, the year of abundant harvest. And he had a theme in terms of his sermon entitled, Harvest Time for the Household of Faith. Mm-hmm. Harvest Time. It's harvest time.
Harvest time.
Can you tell somebody it's harvest time?
It's harvest time.
Can somebody type that in the margin?
Yeah,
you can tell me it's harvest time.
It's harvest time.
For the household of faith. And, you know, when we are blessed, then others around us are blessed. And when the house is blessed, then it will trickle down into the community, into the neighborhood, and even into the city. Do you believe that, Lady Kim?
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about what you observed and any comments you would like to share as related to our service on yesterday, because we had a whole lot going on yesterday. And just tell us a little bit about what the Lord put in your spirit.
Well, you know, like you said, it was an awesome time. The whole service was just amazing. And again, we're so proud of Pastor Marquise. It's harvest time for the household of faith. And he came from Galatians, the 6th chapter in verse 9. Mm-hmm. And he only talked about that one verse where it says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up." Mm-hmm. And so he had 3 points that he spoke on. Point number one is evidence for the household of faith. The second one was encouragement for the household of faith. And the third was the expectation for the household of faith. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I think about Galatians 6 and 9, when it says, don't get tired in doing what's good. And another translation says, be not weary in well doing. Mm-hmm. In well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not.
That's it. That's it.
So it's saying, you know, everybody gets tired. You know, everybody gets tired and feels like giving up or throwing in the towel. You know, and that's evidence that you're doing a great work. Mm-hmm. All right. That's the evidence right there. If you're not doing nothing, then you're not going to be tired.
That's right.
You know, but the evidence is that you're there, you're working hard, and so you're going to get tired. But the next part of that clause says that at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. So the encouragement is, if we keep on going, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. then we're going to get a harvest of blessings. We're going to reap. And you know, when you plant a seed, you know, you don't just get back that one thing.
Okay.
You know, if you plant a corn seed, you're going to get a corn stalk. And that corn stalk is going to have several ears of corn hanging off of it. And on that several ears of corn, you get several, at least 60, 70, maybe 100 little kernels of corn on each one of those corn cobs.
Okay, okay. So, you're talking about that like you know something about that.
Though. I don't know nothing about no planting that. I don't know anything about farming, but I do know about eating.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. And
you know
so,
some sweet corn when you taste it.
I know some sweet corn when I taste it. Mm-hmm. And I know how corn looks, and I can cook a mean pot of corn, too.
You're right.
Fried corn, too.
Hey, man, thumbs up.
All right. So, you know, that encouragement is that the promise is that we'll reap mm-hmm. if we faint not.
Okay.
And so that's the expectation also, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that we're going to reap something. We're
right.
going to have something. So if we don't give up. So that was a great message.
That's your little dog barking in the back. I think she got the Holy Ghost or something back there. But she will begin to make some noise from time to time. And, you know, interesting thing about the sermon, Pastor Marquise was right on point, and the encouragement is there because, like you said, people do get weary, people do get tired. But the enemy tries to confuse and the plan of God by causing us to lose sight of the God in the midst of everything that we're going through. All too often, I believe, we start to focus in on the what and not the who.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up missing out. And sometimes we can be right at the brink of breakthrough. And we give up and throw in the towel. But God says, don't grow weary, you know. And the thing I like about that, Lady Kim, is that God gives us what we need when we need it, mm-hmm. even though we might be feeling weary and tired, mm-hmm. even though we might feel as if we don't have any more energy or to go on. God will give us enough anointing, if you will, to help sustain us in what we are doing to please Him.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
Because I know that as you've been studying, it's been times when I've observed and I try to stay away because I don't want to, you know, break your pattern. I know you invite me when you need me, but it's been times where you look like you were just kind of exhausted and you were weary, but you kept pressing. And so you told me last night you had finished one book and you was getting ready to complete another one, and I think you're sending one to your sister. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. I'm sorry. Did she know? just in case she's she doesn't know anything about that. But the key is that you're pressing, and there's a blessing in our pressing. And so I don't know who this is for tonight. You might be at a point where you are frustrated and you're tired and you feel as if you've done all that you can do. Remember that the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. And so God is telling us in this passage to continue to be steadfast and continue to press our way and not to grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not.
Yes.
That the harvest is coming.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
All right. I see somebody say it's harvest time.
Yes.
Minister Loretta said it's harvest time.
Saying it's harvest
That's right.
Time.
Yes. And so we have to anticipate it. We have to expect it. And even when it looks like we can't go another step, just press your way and God will indeed give you the strength that you need in order to endure. Don't focus on what you're going through, but focus on the one who's able to see you through.
See you through, that's right.
He will see you through.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, that was a reminder too from Pastor Marquise, a great reminder that we need to be encouraged.
Mm-hmm,
You know, sometimes the song says, encourage yourself.
Right.
You know, sometimes we look for other people to encourage us. But, you know, when times get rough, turn to the word of God. This is a word of encouragement right here that we shall reap if we don't faint, if we don't give up.
That's right.
A blessing is coming our way.
That's good.
So we have to expect it. Mm-hmm. Expect God's word to come to fruition, and it will.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's powerful. And then also on yesterday, we had the opportunity to baptize two of our newly accepted persons, two young girls who accepted the Lord as their personal Savior, and they had a scheduling conflict. They wanted to make sure everybody in the family was available, the McLeod family. And I tell you, that was really really good, just to be able to baptize them, go through the class. They were so excited and had no fear. They understood clearly their charge, and they were willing to accept the Lord. And I was talking with the mother when we were in the class, and she was saying, Pastor, my grandfather and my grandmother, they poured into them at an early age, and so it's coming to pass.
Mm.
And so that's a word for us. You know, we have a charge to keep and a God to glorify. We have to live out this gospel, and we have to share it with others, because you never know where those seeds are going to end up. The seeds that we plant into the lives of people. Go get your little dog, Reverend. The little dog in there singing. Well, Miss Cleveland might be pulling up. That's
She's
probably what
it is.
She's
out there in the car, probably.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's the alarm that's going off. But we have to continue to encourage those who are coming behind us. We have to continue to plant seeds. And I know you challenged the people during the offering time about making sure that they planted a seed. What was the whole significance of that in terms of them planting a seed?
Well, we talked about 22 years of ministry.
Okay.
And planting in increments of 22.
Mm-hmm.
We asked them to plant, you know, $22, $222, $2,200,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, in increments of 22. I didn't want to say 22 cent because, mm-hmm. you know, I think even children can give more than 22 cent.
Okay.
You know, these young people nowadays, they have more money than I do.
I know, right?
But, you know, we just... thank God for the people who have sown into the ministry of Anointed Temple of Praise. And 22 was significant of 22 years of God showing his favor on us and blessing us as a church family.
And perhaps there might be someone on the virtual study tonight who didn't get an opportunity. That's why I wanted you just to rehearse that. And if Miss Darren is on, she could perhaps put that information on the screen, because somebody might want to sow a seed tonight, because we don't get a harvest by just walking around with looking at everybody else and seeing them do the work and seeing everybody else plant. Your harvest comes as a result of you planting If you don't plant, and I think you said that in your sermon, Lady Kim, if you don't plant anything, then don't expect a harvest.
Absolutely.
And so we have to plant with the spirit of expectation and believe that God is going to do what he said he would do. And then we have to work the field. We have to get out there and do our part. And you can count on God. God's going to do his part. His promises are sure, and his satisfaction is guaranteed. So if somebody wants to plant a seed tonight, $22, what were the other increments, Lady Kim?
$2,220.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And yeah. That's where you stopped at?
Yes.
$2,000.
Well, somebody might want to give
$2,220,000. That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so you never know who might be listening. We might have somebody who's looking for an outlet where they want to invest and plant a seed. And it's in the planting of the seed that you can expect the harvest. And so we want to encourage you to do that. But before we get into our lesson, we're in the fifth chapter of Joshua tonight, and I believe it's about 15 verses. Not only did we have a baptismal service, and not only did we have a powerful word from the Lord, Pastor Marquise McPherson, New Bethel Baptist Church, but we also had a group in the back, Lady Kim, that were working all the way through service. They were there on Sunday preparing meals. And I tell you, that's a good place to make an investment, because it just does my heart good when we have taken on three shelters to help and assist with. Plus, we made sure that everyone who was present in the worship experience to receive a meal to take with them. And then we delivered meals to our sick and shut-in and to our seniors. And so that was well over. I don't have the actual count yet, but I know it was at least 300 meals that was distributed on yesterday. Andrew is on the call tonight. He's one of the chefs. He was there Saturday morning. He and Sister
Minister Shotwell.
Minister Shotwell.
Sister Amelia.
Amelia Curry.
Yes.
Williams. And Brother Dewan Whitmore and his crew. And we can't call all of the names, but that's an excellent ministry, an excellent place to plant a seed. And it shows you that there's a need out there. And so we're just trying to tap in to that particular need. I think the information is there on the screen for those who would like to invest or plant a seed tonight and you didn't get an opportunity to do that. And I see my good friend, Dr. John Tunstall, all the way from Los Angeles, California. He's on the call tonight. And I'm going to say this, and then we're going to get into the lesson. All right, Dr. Tunstall, since you're on, thank you so very much. I know our good friend and our brother, Dr. Reginald Holmes, was here, and he brought a gift with him for the First Lady and myself. It was definitely a surprise. And after you viewed the worship experience, you said, well, I want to do something. And that's the essence of what happened. He said, well, I want to send you some accessories to go with that suit that Reg gave you. And sure enough, the next day, I got some money in the cash app saying, go get what you can do, match that up, and let me see what it looks like. And so, Dr. John Tunstall, thank you so very much for your gift, and Dr. Holmes as well. And we greatly appreciate the members of ATOP as well as those who help and make us, you know, go forward and do what God has called us to do. All right. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Fifth chapter of Joshua. And we're going to jump in. There are only 15 verses there.
Mm-hmm.
But this chapter, Lady Kim, is really an amazing chapter. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
They have crossed over the Jordan.
Crossed the Jordan. Remember last week we talked about how God parted the Jordan River just like he parted the Red Sea for Moses and the Israelites. He parts the Jordan River for Joshua and the Israelites to go through on dry ground.
Okay. And they also set up a memorial.
Yes, they did.
Tell us a little bit if you remember.
They took the 12 stones. Mm-hmm. And they were directed to take 12 stones from the middle of the river.
That's right.
And carry them to the other side and build a memorial to God there.
Okay.
And so they did. And, you know, they called it Gilgal.
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 That's right.
To this day, it's still there.
Okay. And so here we find ourselves as they have crossed over, they're getting ready now. The Israelites are getting ready to be circumcised, and they are have renamed the place where they have landed to Gilgal, the Lord did. And the people also are celebrating the Passover. Mm-hmm. This is another Passover for them. And Joshua is approached by the general of the Lord's army. Mm-hmm. And so he had to distinctly identify himself, and God answered him as a result of that. We're going to see that coming out in this chapter. But I think one of the interesting things here as we prepare to read a few of these verses is that God was getting them ready, and he was also renewing his covenant commitment with them, and it came as a result of the circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be key in this particular fifth chapter of Joshua, and we'll see that God rolled away the disgrace that they had when they were in Egypt and when they were in bondage. And this circumcision, many times people look at it as something that's done in terms of an outward symbol of the flesh being removed. But we'll find later in the new covenant that God really wants it to be an inward circumcision of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so if God can get our hearts, then if he can cut away some of the stuff that's hindering and preventing us from worshiping him in spirit and in truth, I believe that honors God. It's not just an outward expression, but it also needs to be an inward confession.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good.
All right. So fifth chapter of Joshua. Lady Kim, you want to read some of that for us? Maybe there are only 15 verses. Let's maybe break that in half, and then we'll stop and see if there's any comments or any explanation that's needed.
Okay. The fifth chapter of Joshua. Now, when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gelbreth Haraloth. Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not.
Right.
The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land that he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in the camp until they were healed.
Okay. That's a lot, isn't it?
Yes.
And really what God is doing, and you stopped at verse number
eight. At the end of eight.
Mm-hmm. Really what God was doing is renewing, as we said earlier, his covenant commitment with the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they had wandered for 40 years, God did not institute the circumcision until after they had came out of the wilderness, and all of those who were soldiers then had died off, and now these are the ancestors of the ones who came, who left with them from Egypt, but wandered in the wilderness 40 years, and these are the children.
The children of those who wandered in the wilderness.
Right, I said ancestors, the children, right. And so now God is renewing that covenant and reintroducing to them the importance and the significance of covenant relationship. Mm-hmm. And so Joshua, he's following through on what God has commanded him to do in these first 8 verses. And we see that this is a very powerful sign that God is really making sure that they have committed themselves to what he needs them to do going forward.
Mm-hmm. And it was really, you know, to see if they were going to be obedient to what God was calling them to do.
Okay.
Like you said, you know, all those who left Egypt with Moses,
right.
All those men had been circumcised.
That's right.
But remember, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years.
40 years.
And during that 40-year period, they didn't circumcise any of the children that were born.
That's right.
And now that all those people who left Egypt had died, and all those children who were born in that wilderness experience, now it's time for, the Lord is telling Joshua, now it's time to circumcise these young men, or these people that had not been circumcised.
Yeah.
And so it was really a testing or a challenging of their obedience.
Okay. All right. And because it was disobedience that kept them in
the wilderness.
Right.
Yes.
And so now God, after he had cleared the air and made sure that all of those who were disobedient were no longer on the scene, he reinstitutes, as you indicated, this very important ritual, which was primarily for the Jews, and it was a connection between the Jews and God to show that they were indeed the chosen people.
Amen.
And so even though circumcision may have been evident in that time, this was a circumcision that really connected them with in covenant relationship with God. And so he reinstitutes that. And then, of course, as you indicated, Joshua is the one who's in the lead now. And one of the things I think I noticed when you were reading that disabled the whole army.
Oh, yes.
Because you don't just get circumcised and get up and keep going.
Right.
And so that takes time to heal. And I think, I don't know which verse it was you read it where.
It's number 8, verse 8.
What does it say?
After the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed.
Okay, until they were healed. So that's a process that takes place. Mm-hmm. And this was not like the anesthesia and all of that we have in place today. And so they had a lot of healing to do. I'm sure they had some methods in terms of how they would protect the soldiers, but that was a process that had to happen. You don't just get up and start moving after you're circumcised.
Amen.
Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you, and you know, all the time that because of their obedience, God had his hand of protection on them.
That's right.
You know, because remember when it said talked about the Canaanites and the Amorites, you know, they became afraid of the Israelites. If they weren't afraid of the Israelites, they probably would have tried to attack and retaliate because the Israelites had encroached on their territory, had come over that Jordan River, and were now camped outside of Jericho.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing in that first verse, if you can read that again, it really kind of sets the tone for what you just said, because they had witnessed the power and the presence of God, and they were spellbound. They were in awe. I don't know if they were around when God parted the Red Sea or not, but they saw him part the Jordan, and they like, hey, you know, something powerful is happening, and we don't need to mess with this. Go ahead and read verse 1 again for that.
When all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan, all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they crossed over, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites.
Their hearts melted in fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they were afraid because they had witnessed something that was powerful, and they knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that nobody but God could make something happen like that.
Absolutely.
And so it is with us, and keeping it relevant, God will show himself strong on our behalf. And he will amaze the enemy to the point where they will have to get back when he shows his power through you in terms of helping you get out of a situation, helping you to overcome. The enemy has to back up and say, hey, Lady Kim is not by herself. You know, she's got a powerful force that's backing her in this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's evident because... keep in mind now, the enemy is not going to disappear just because we made a covenant with God.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to continue to try to come and steal, kill, and destroy. My good friend Dr. Tunstall always says, the enemy comes to steal what Jesus wants to give.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be mindful of that because when the closer we get to God, the enemy begins to try and pursue us and try to trick us and try to trap us to make us turn back and not fulfill the plan and the assignment that God has for our lives.
Amen. And if you think about that, the enemy doesn't have to pursue anybody who's not following after God.
Mm-hmm.
He already has them.
Right.
But he tries to, pursue us and discourage us because we're on the Lord's side.
Okay. Are there any comments there, Lady Kim?
No.
Okay. And so we already read, Lady Kim did, the first 8 verses of the 5th chapter of Joshua for those of you who are just joining us. And we're going back and just kind of lifting up a few of those final points in those particular verses. Anything else you want to lift out of those verses before we read the next few?
No, we did have one comment. Brother Martez just wrote, obedience and keeping our heart in tune with God daily is very important. God is with us in every situation, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
God will not allow any weapon formed against us to prosper.
Wow, that's
amen.
Powerful.
That's great, Brother Martez.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. All right. Well, we're going to move into the remaining verses. There are only 15 verses here in this 15th chapter, and so we're going to read, Lady Kim is going to read verses 9 through 15.
Verse 9 of the 5th chapter of Joshua. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you, so the place has been called Gilgal to this day.
Mm-hmm.
On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate of the produce of Canaan.
Hmm.
Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for this servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so.
Okay, all right. Now, when we first introduced this 5th chapter, we talked about how Joshua is approached by the general of the Lord's army.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that coming into play in those last two verses of that fifth chapter, 14 and 15. And it's important here, Lady Kim, I think, for us to see how this Passover was not like the one when they were coming out of Egypt, but it was for them crossing over into new territory, and how God was honoring that because he said he had rolled away their reproach and their sins. Mm-hmm. And this whole, and so that was a point of emphasis and contact for them as a Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And they observed that during this particular time.
Okay.
Anything else there you see? Any comments from any of you on the call? That perhaps wanted a question that you might have. We're in the fifth chapter of Joshua. Lady Kim just finished reading verses 9 through 15. There are only 15 verses there, and we've already went through the first portion of that, and now we are getting ready to come to a close. I think part of this lesson for tonight, Lady Kim, helps us to understand that the Israelites were free from their shame of their former lives, because this was a part of that Passover that we just talked about. And then it gives us a clear indication that we too can be freed from our past, which does not hold us hostage or hold us in chains. And when Jesus died on the cross and he rose Easter Sunday morning, he had with him, when he came up out of the grave, the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And he delivers. Deliverance was for all of us as a result of what he did on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have a right to the tree of life, because when we accept him as Lord and Savior and we confess our sins and we believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we shall be saved.
Mm-hmm.
We shall be rescued. And I think one of the things that really we need to focus on, not so much one of the primary things, is that how the enemy will try to confuse us and how to throw us off track and hinder us from, you know, really going forward and experiencing the fullness that God has for our lives.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, that's the enemy's job, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To keep us off kilter, to keep us unbalanced, to keep us off focus from doing the will of God. But if we continue to keep our focus on God, keep our focus on Jesus, then we will get to our promised land.
That's right.
The land flowing with milk and honey.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's so easy to get discouraged. But not only get discouraged, it's easy to get sidetracked, you know, and it's easy to become disobedient.
Okay.
In the process. So I think one of the things here was obedience.
Mm-hmm. And we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And as we said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make sure that we understand whose we are and who we are.
Mm-hmm.
When we're going through. Somebody might be on the call tonight who's going through a situation where they are waiting for God to do something in their lives, just like the children of Israel were. And so I just want to encourage them and let them know that don't grow weary in well-doing. Pastor Marquise talked about it yesterday. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Hold on and hold out a little while longer, because help is on the way. And if you don't give up, God will show up. And if he doesn't show up, he'll send some angels your way, one called goodness and another called mercy. Somebody type surely right there.
Mm-hmm.
Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do we have a comment or a question?
Yes, there was a comment. Somebody said, I read they had to be circumcised because it was the law, and they could not celebrate the Passover until it was done.
That's good. That's good. And one of the things that happened there is they reinstituted the circumcision, because they have coming out of the wilderness. It's been 40 years, and all of the ones who were circumcised when they came out of Egypt had died. Mm-hmm. And so now it's a whole nother generation coming up, and God used this as a test. He used it also as a form of commitment to the covenant that he had established with Abraham.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
That's good. Somebody type surely.
I see three people.
Hey, Brother Jonathan, how you doing? All right. Well, Lady Kim, we pretty much covered this, unless you have some more information you want to lift up out of that particular chapter, the fifth chapter. If there are any prayer requests or anything that you need us to agree with you around that you believe in God for, we definitely want you to put that in the chat so that we might lift that up tonight. And then we also want to make sure that you're well aware of everything that's happening in the life of the church. We've really come to the close of our study. Lady Kim is just kind of looking now to see if there's something else she needs to bring out. But we're certainly grateful. And look, let me say this. It's not too late, even though this is the last day of this first month of the year. It's still not too late to make commitments, to renew, to rededicate, to ask God to give you what you need in order to overcome, because we can very easily fall back into some of the same things that we were doing last year if we don't set a precedence in terms of what we want to try and accomplish. I'm not talking about a resolution, but I'm talking about trusting God and being more consistent in your disciplines. And we've already had a 20-day fast, but we still need to periodically fast and pray around other things that we might be going through, because the enemy has an eye on us, and he's waiting for his opportunity to try to trip us up or throw us off track or try to hinder us from being who God would have us to be.
Amen. Amen. The main thing I think we should come away with, mm-hmm, from this is that the Israelites were free from the shame of their former lives. Mm-hmm. And we too are free from our past, which does not chain us or hold us back.
Okay.
So we're free because of what Christ has done on the cross. We too are free, okay, from the guilt and shame of our past.
Hallelujah. You free, Lady Kim?
I'm free.
Praise
free
the Lord.
Indeed.
I'm free.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
I'm free. Got a text here from somebody in Chicago. They say, surely.
Surely. All right, now.
Sister Portia, thank you. She's probably on the streaming side, huh?
Yes.
Thank you so much for that. Well, any prayer requests?
We have one prayer request. It says, please pray for Hattie Wayne, a dear friend who had a stroke. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to lift up from the prayer request that we have?
Lift up the sister prayer request for Sister Vanessa Jefferson and Sister Dorothy Foster.
Yes, Brother Robert.
Also, yes.
Okay.
So we're lifting them up. Lift up all of our sick and shut in, as well as our bereaved families. I believe Sister Dr. Carolyn Butler, mm-hmm, they funeralized her daughter-in-law on last Friday, and so we continue to lift that family up in our prayers.
Okay. All right. Well, anything you want to share with us about what's getting ready to happen here in February? We're moving into a whole nother month starting tomorrow.
Yep. February is Black History Month.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
we
right.
celebrate Black History Month, and we will have some short speakers each Sunday in February, and they're going to talk from the theme of Black History Month, which is Black Health and Wellness.
Okay.
And we know health and wellness is so important, especially mental health these days.
Absolutely.
You know, we heard of the tragic loss of life of the Miss Universe, mm-hmm, young lady, 30 years old, who committed suicide. And so if you're having mental health challenges or issues, please talk to someone. Go and get some help. You know, your family needs you. People love you. People depend on you. And things are not as bad as they may seem. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. So just go and get some help. And of course, it's time for those checkups. If you haven't had your physicals, it's time to do that also. It's always good to catch something at the beginning rather than to, you know, once you've been diagnosed, try to get some help. It's always easier to get something, get some help in the beginning and get it resolved than wait until the middle or the end of it when help is less likely to be able to be effective.
Okay. And, you know, within this season of COVID and all of the other different viruses that's out there, it's important for us to really pay attention to mental health and wellness and stay on top of our game. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of times people don't like, you know, to go to the doctor and tell that they're about to fall apart. But like you said, preventive checkups and measurements can really save your life, and it can save others from going through some other things that might happen if you wait and don't deal with how you feel. You know your body better than anybody else. You know when things are not right, and no need to continue to procrastinate around that and put it off and delay it. But go ahead and get on top of that and make sure that you handle your business. I left a little saying with the men on Sunday, Lady Kim. We are studying from Joshua as well in our study. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the primary focus is on Joshua 24 and 15. That was where the statement came from. And that's the title of the book. But the same thing I shared with us, I think, last week, I asked the men to let that marinate in their spirit. And then we kind of talked a little bit about it this Sunday, yesterday. A change of pace, change of place equals change of perspective.
Amen.
And oftentimes that's so true in everything that we undertake to do, particularly around this time of the year. We have to switch it up. We have to change our pace. If it takes whatever it takes, and get out of the rut that we're in, to get out of doing business as usual, you ought to decree and declare over your life, I'm not going to accept the things of my past that continues to hold me down. I'm going to redirect myself in order for me to find more positive reinforcement and more spiritual reinforcement in my life. And even if I have to change my pace, even if I have to slow down, or even if I have to start moving a little faster, then that's what I'm going to adopt. And then the change of place means that oftentimes when we just remove ourselves from, as our good friend Dr. Holmes, Holmes' first name? I can't call his first name.
Reginald.
Not him, but the one that was a member of our church.
Herman.
Lord knows, I come and go, but you know I wouldn't forget Dr. Herman's name. And I almost, he talked about toxic relationships, mm-hmm. and how we can be in a toxic situation for so long until it becomes the norm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to change your place, just like you have to change your pace. And once you do that, even if you just have to go for a walk, even you have to go for a little stay vacation? How do they call it now?
When you staycation.
Staycation. All right, you helping me, Reverend. I'm just, I just need a little help. That's all. Staycation. Even if you have to go on a staycation, you know, then just pull back. And it will give you, it equals a change of perspective. And I think that will help clarify some of the things that oftentimes we take for granted, and some of the things that we just go through the motions of, and really find out that we're just spinning our wheels. and not getting the kind of results that we need. And so we settle and we fall beneath the standard that God has set for our lives. Mm-hmm. So a change of pace, change of place. Somebody put this in there. Change of pace, change of place equals a change of perspective. Mm-hmm. Come on, somebody type that in. A change of pace, change of place equals a change of perspective.
Amen. That's good. Yep. That's good. All right.
All right. Well, that's it for tonight. You have anything else?
Well, a couple of more prayer requests came in for Sister Imam Brown asked for prayers for her father, Glenn Knox. Mm-hmm. And then I know last week, Brother Stanley Lifford asked prayer for his father, Joe Lifford. Mm-hmm. So we added them to our prayer list.
Okay.
So those are the prayer requests for tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, Lady Kim, will you go ahead and close us out? We're going to be in the sixth chapter of Joshua next week. And there are 27 verses to that sixth chapter. And so you can go ahead and read ahead and just get ahead of the study. And that way when we, because we don't usually do each line by line, precept upon precept, we kind of just give a brief synopsis of everything that's happening and share some of the important insights that need to be shared in that particular chapter.
Amen. Okay. Amen. All right. Don't forget, we will have our leadership meeting this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m. So we're looking for all of our ministers and spiritual officers and our ministry leaders to join us on Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m. The link will be sent out very soon. So watch your emails for that link.
And do we need to, there are some updates for those who need to make sure that their year-end statements or...
Year-end statements have gone out via email. If you did not receive it, check your spam, okay? Some of them are going over into your spam mailbox. If you don't find it in your spam, you can request one from the church office and they will submit that. Also, please update your information. You should have received your constant contact. There's a QR code that you can click on with your phone, and it'll take you to a place that will update your information right into our computer system. All you have to do is update the information. It goes directly into our computer system. So I think Theron has placed it on the website on the chat here in the notes line here. So just make sure you go to that site and you will be able to update your information.
That is the link. Okay. All right. Well, thank you all so much for being a part. Lady Kim, will you close us out tonight with a word of prayer?
Let's pray. God, we thank you tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you are worthy to be praised. We ask right now, God, for your peace to surround us, oh God, that we ask, oh God, that you would just uplift and touch those prayer requests that we have lifted up to you, God. We ask, God, prayers for Sister Hattie Wayne, oh God, and that stroke. Oh God, we ask that you would just give her back all of the things that she's lost because of that stroke, God. We lift up Sister Vanessa Jefferson and Sister Dorothy Foster. We lift up to you, Brother Glenn Knox and Brother Joe Lifford. We ask, oh God, that you would watch over Brother Michael Jones, oh God, and Liz Mendez, God. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to heal those that are suffering with COVID-19 symptoms today, God. We ask, God, that you would lift up every bowed down head, everyone struggling with the loss of a loved one. We pray for Dr. Carolyn Butler and her family, God. We ask that you would continue to be with them and surround them also. Now, God, from this lesson on tonight, we ask that we would glean whatever it is that you would have us to glean, oh God, as we go forth from this place. We thank you for this opportunity. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, we're certainly grateful for each of you being on tonight, and we hope that you have a fantastic rest of the evening. And there are links there that will direct you to all of the information that we've shared with you tonight about updates and about reminders. And we're certainly grateful for how God is sustaining us in this season.
Amen. Bye, everybody. Thank you for joining tonight. Have a blessed week.